You're listening to the Hockey Podcast Network, your home for hockey talk covering every team in the NHL. New episodes every Monday. Download at thehockeypodcastnetwork.com or wherever you get your podcasts from.
Stayed onside. The late man Matthews. Great move. What a goal. Beauty. Austin Matthews.
Matthews flipped it up for Marner. Mitch Marner centering. Hyman to the net. Scores.
He took fast down and his jockstrap is in the corner of the ring.
All right, here we go. Episode 54 of Not Another Leafs Pod on the Hockey Podcast Network. At Ken Stapon, at BMcCarthy95, at Leafs Pod, and at Hockey Pod Nets. A reminder that this podcast is brought to you by DraftKings Sportsbook. The second round is in full swing and the action increases from game to game. This is where the contenders are separated from the pretenders. And to give you some skin in the game, DraftKings will be offering free to play pools every day of the basketball playoffs, offering players a free shot at $10,000 in total prizes. That's up to 10 grand in total prizes up for grabs each day. The best part is it's free to play. DraftKings free to play pools are easy to enter. Just download the DraftKings app, go to pools, and choose from a wide variety of free contests for an opportunity to win cash prizes. All you have to do is answer a handful of questions around what you think is going to happen during that day's basketball games and track your results throughout the evening. Questions range from which team will hit the most threes to which team will score first. DraftKings is safe, secure, and reliable, so you can deposit and withdraw your money at your convenience. It's this simple. Download the top-rated DraftKings app. Use the promo code THPN when you sign up to get your free shot at up to $10,000 in total prizes every day of the basketball playoffs. Head to the DraftKings pools page to get your free shot at huge cash prizes. That's promo code THPN for a limited time. Only at DraftKings Sportsbook. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details. Episode 54, BMAC. Who you got as the relief representative for this epi?
Are you ready for this?
I am ready for this.
Chris Newberry. A Leaf from 2007 to 2009. He was a gritty guy, bottom six guy, but he probably scored like five career goals and mostly spent his time in the box. But Chris Newberry, that was I was actually doing a little bit of in-depth research. The only other guy who repped 54, and it was brief, and I didn't know this, was Freddie Gauthier. But that must have been like very, very brief. So I had to give it to Chris Newberry in this regard. So we dedicate episode 54 of Not Another Leafs Podcast to you, Chris.
I've got his hockey DB up right now. He basically played about 43 games for the Leafs between 06-07 and 07-08. He had three combined goals, three combined assists, and basically 60-plus PIMs over those two seasons. So, yeah, was certainly spending most of his time in the penalty box.
He was actually part of one of, I think, the only time the Leafs put up a 10 spot. It was like January 2007 when they're in Boston, and they scored 10 goals, and Newberry made it 6-2 and part of like a 3-goal and 42-second span, which I believe was close to making history. I think the fastest 3 goals for the Leafs in their history is 21 seconds, but they almost did it. So kind of cool there. Little tidbit for you.
Hey, big shout out to Newberry as well. A member of the Connecticut Whale in 2012-2013. That was my AHL affiliate team when I lived in the USA. Had 62 points and 127 PIMs in 70 games for the Connecticut Whale last season. So decent AHL player, but never really was able to carve out an existence in the show. So obviously Leafs content a little bit dry at this point. So we're actually going to do this backwards. Let's look at the conference final or the final four matchups that are set in stone here. It's Montreal versus Vegas and the Tampa Bay Lightning versus the New York Islanders. I'm not sure that anybody was expecting these four teams, maybe outside of Tampa Bay, to make it through to the Final Four. Vegas, I know a lot of people had picked, but certainly Montreal and New York have been very pleasant surprises for their fan base. And much to the dismay of Toronto Maple Leafs fans, Montreal makes it through to the conference finals. And I feel like for Leafs fans, they're happy to see Boston out, but it's bittersweet as everybody knows the relationship between Toronto and New York.
Well, wait, Kenny, we do have a lead. Frederick Anderson and Austin Matthews were at UFC 263 last night with Jay Beebs.
Oh,
we can pump out 20 minutes with that, can't we?
Yeah, fair. The SportsCenter Twitter feed was getting raked because they tweeted out that Bieber was at the fight and right next to him was Austin Matthews.
And ESPN whiffed. They just Bieber entering UFC 263 and there's like casually Austin Matthews beside him. They didn't even make mention.
Given the fact that ESPN is going to be the broadcasting partner for the NHL moving forward, you think that they would want to be pumping the tires of one of the star players? I saw everybody in the conversation underneath that saying, oh, you know what? Bieber is an international superstar and Austin Matthews is a regional superstar. Like, although Bieber is an international sensation, Austin Matthews is not a regional superstar. This guy scored the most goals in the league last year. He's the best American-born player right now in the league, by my estimation. Maybe you could say Patrick Kane. Obviously, he's had a more illustrious career to this point, but Matthew's much younger. I think he's the most dominant U.S. player right now in the league. So to say that he's just a regional superstar is ridiculous.
I love how Anderson, too, kind of just tagged along. I feel like Matthews was like, I'll go. I'll come on your private jet, but I got to bring Fred. That we're a package deal.
Yeah, well, Bieber's a big
Leafs quarantine
fan,
buddies, so
I feel like he wasn't I feel like he probably
wasn't going to say
that yeah. Fred was long, but he just
no, Fred like, can't yeah. come.
No, he's like, Fred can come, but I only have two ringside seats, where they say ringside seats.
Yeah,
Fred's going to need to sit farther in the 200s.
Oh, man. Well, okay. I guess that's the forefront of our discussion today, but isn't it weird how like Montreal and New York can be in the Cup final? Like, Jesus.
For the conference final, yeah.
No, but they could play in the Stanley Cup final.
They could potentially be in the Cup final, yeah.
Like, in an already just weird, unique season, that just is the cherry on top. And they, you know, both Montreal and New York are the pesky, pesky, grinded out teams. So, as good as Vegas is, like, man, that series kicks off tomorrow, Montreal-Vegas. I mean, their confidence is sky high right now, and obviously Carey Price has been the backbone in this playoffs and quite frankly for the last decade. So I'm not, you know, buying into the let's support the Habs colors with painting our CN Tower in their team colors.
Sure, it's a
Canadian team, but yeah, I want to get in that like first before we break down the Final Four matchups. I thought that was – even the thought of that was a joke. And I heard Niagara Falls now. They're going to put the falls in red and blue colors now to support. Fair enough. It cannot be in Toronto. That's like Packers, Bears supporting each other, Yankees, Red Sox. You just can't do that. Are you with me?
It's like the Yankees lighting up the Empire State Building.
Yes.
With the Red Sox colors when they were making that deep playoff run after eliminating them in seven to go on to win the World Series.
Yeah.
Honestly, that it's the equivalent. It's after the Red Sox went down 3-0 to New York, then Boston stormed, or the Yankees went down 3-0 to Boston. The Red Sox storm back, win four straight, and go on to win their first championship since 1918. After blowing the 3-0 series lead, which is actually, there's a lot more parallels than I thought comparatively. It would be like the New York Yankees lighting up the Empire State Building red and white.
It's the equivalent of the Habs allowing the Leafs to wipe their derriere and also do up their pants. That's what it is. If you want a graphic analogy, that's exactly what it is. I thought it was a joke and it was put to bed fast by John Torrey. And I'm just glad we didn't have to. I mean, I didn't look out my window, but I mean, I'm guilty of just seeing it on Twitter and stuff. But was it actually like even briefly for an hour lit up in Habs colors?
I think it was basically all night.
Was it all night? Oh, that's a joke.
I think they fired it up all night. And I think the one thing that we learned is the operator of the LED strips at the CN Tower is a Montreal fan, because that's the only explanation. Like, even a neutral bystander hockey fan would understand that this isn't the right play for, you know, a historic landmark in the city of Toronto. I was so confused by the whole thing. It was just so egregious and just such a big F you. And everybody's saying, oh, yeah, it's Canada's team, support them. Like, listen, you can root for Montreal if you so choose. But to be glorifying it on, you know, the most unique building in city of Toronto is
it's gutting.
And everybody's saying, yeah, it's federally owned. But come on. Like, nobody's coming to Toronto and thinking, hey, there's the federally owned CN Tower. It's the most unique part of the Toronto skyline. It's been defaced.
Completely defaced. I was embarrassed. I really was. Yeah. Because they would never do that. Ever. Like, Oh.
No, they wouldn't. It's
ridiculous. Ridiculous. Even the mere thought, as I said. But
well, they have a difficult matchup now with the Vegas Golden Knights in the second round. Or then the third round, I guess. It's still hard to believe that they're in the third round. But this Vegas team is no joke. They go down 2-0 to Colorado and then come back and win 4 straight against the Avs, like in pretty dominant fashion. Like, they just found an extra gear. We've talked excessively. I'm not going to use our favorite word. I'm going to try to steer away from that. We've talked excessively about the depth of leadership on this team, whether it's Mark Stone, whether it's Alex Pietrangelo, Max Pacioretty, and with outstanding goaltending coming off the back of Marc-Andre Fleury, the Vegas Golden Knights are legit. Everybody was picking, well, a lot of people picked Colorado as the favorite in that division. Ultimately, the suspension of Nazem Kadri, we don't know how much that played into the outcome of this series, but certainly weakened and depleted Colorado's lineup. Now Vegas has the upper hand against Montreal, and this is going to be by far the most difficult competition that Montreal has faced. They're going to be going into a barn, Brendan, where Cole Caulfield has never played in front of more than 2,500 fans in the NHL. They're going to be going into a barn, 20,000 strong, with rabid Vegas Golden Knights fans. And you know how they like to put on a show and party more than anybody in the league. It's going to be a shell shock for Montreal in game one going into that stadium.
I think absolutely. I was just going to say that, like, a culture shock, because they've been obviously just playing, you know, the 6 other Canadian teams. Yeah, exactly. And I think it's going to be just, okay, whoa. Like, I'd be shocked if they sneak one out before heading back to Montreal, because Vegas, like a Nassau Coliseum, is going to be electrifying. And they make it's like a theater. It's like a full theatrical experience. Oh, and yes, there's a hockey game that's played as well. So you got to go through all of that, and they're just ardent fans. Like, obviously for the inaugural season, it's like, okay, like, are you really a fan? But now they've embraced it, they've accepted it, and they have a wagon of a hockey team, so it's easy to cheer for them. So Montreal's going to be in tough, but they're feeling pretty confident right now. Let's be honest.
Yeah, and their team has really embraced the role of the underdog, and that's a position that this franchise can take refuge in. It's like, nobody's going to give them a shot against Vegas. Nobody really gave them a shot against Toronto, and most didn't give them a shot against Winnipeg. And they were able to handle both those teams, yeah, obviously Toronto and 7, and that was just the sweep against Winnipeg. So if I'm Vegas, you can't obviously look past Montreal. We know what Carey Price is capable of in the postseason. We saw it firsthand against Toronto and against Winnipeg. But Montreal is severely outmatched up front. I think this is the first time they're going to be facing a decor that is as deep as their decor is. And the first time they're going to be facing a netminder who's playing at the same level as their netminder, Carey Price and Marc-Andre Fleury. Nothing against Connor Hellebuyck. We know that what he is capable of when he's at the top of his game, but he was not the top of his game against Montreal in that series. Jack Campbell, again, had an outstanding series, I thought, for Toronto against Montreal. But it was ultimately Carey Price who was able to come up with the shutout in game 7 and ultimately get Montreal the series win. They aren't going to have it so easy against Marc-Andre Fleury, who put together a Vezina caliber season, is ultimately up for the award for the best goaltender in the league this year.
Absolutely, no doubt. And Montreal-Vegas go tomorrow night, Monday the 14th. It's a late start in Vegas. We're recording this June 13th, just after 3. So game 1 of Islanders Lightning has been underway. And you look at the final 4 goalies, Kenny, like premier goaltending, Price, Fleury, Vasilevsky, and then Varlamov, who has stepped into the spotlight and has turned the heads of many. I mean, watching games one and two and three of their tilt against the Avs, Varlamov was sensational. And he certainly stoned the Avs on a multiple chances. And he has really, really been a staple between the pipes for the Islanders and a big reason why they've made it this far.
The Isles like continue to impress with their ability to get it done in the postseason.
Yeah. Like they don't break.
And I believe with Vegas actually making it through to the final four, that means that there's no one seeds that made it through to the final leg of the tournament, because Tampa didn't finish in first in their division. I believe they finished actually, it might have been in third. It was second or third place. I can't remember where Carolina ends up finishing, but they weren't the one seed. The Islanders were the three seed in their division, finishing behind, I believe it was Pittsburgh and Washington. So they don't end up as the one seed in that division. And then obviously Montreal was the four seed coming out of the North. So it goes to show you how the seeding in an NHL playoffs, especially in a weird year where the fan bases aren't able to fill up the stands and home ice isn't what it usually is. It was it's the year of the underdog, and all these teams have to be aware of it, especially Vegas up against a Montreal team that's playing completely with house money at this point. They have nothing to lose. They weren't expecting a conference finals berth at the beginning of this season. Maybe they were in Montreal. I don't think that they were anywhere else. And meanwhile, on the other side, the Islanders have managed to take care of the Pittsburgh Penguins and the Boston Bruins, two ultimately franchises that have been consistently able to get it done in the postseason for the last several years.
Two four seeds. I'm just confirming now. The Islanders are the four seed coming in, bounce Pittsburgh. Montreal is obviously a four seed. Tampa was a third seed coming in, and then Colorado bounced as the first seed. So, yeah, as Vegas was the second seed. So, as you said, the postseason of the underdog. And you have a personal wish for that Vegas Hab series. You want a former Hab to rake and do work, and maybe it's a bit of poetic justice for us and for Max Pacioretty.
I would love Max Pacioretty to score the game-winning goal in game four.
Triple OT.
Bell Center, triple OT, and just go full Selly and just flip off.
And then do the four? As a random do the Kotkaniemi four?
Yeah, everybody ribbed him, but like FFS, like they win the series. It's like it's tough to rib him after that. But yeah, Max Pacioretty, I think this is a huge opportunity for him to get back in the national spotlight in Montreal and show them what they're missing on chasing this guy out of town. I know that he struggled down the stretch in his Montreal career. Obviously, when the trade rumors start flying, that's not easy for any player, especially the captain. But my goodness, is he found a home in Vegas, and he's such a big part of the success of that hockey team, and a great opportunity for him now to stick it to his former club. You know how athletes love to do that, especially after they get pushed out of town in the situation that Pacioretty was out of Montreal.
And two former players on Canadian teams, Mark Stone, too, a former Senator, and Max, a former Hab. And I'm sure at this point he'd much rather be a Golden Knight, even though can clearly see his former team has done considerably well, considering they were the underdogs throughout and probably thought to have not even sniffed past game four of the first round. And here they are. So incredible run there on.
So I know game one of the Isles and Lightning has just started, just underway. But I want to get your predictions for these two series before really like both series start. Do you think that the underdogs continue to have a chance? Because I think likely the majority of the NHL community is going to give the nod to the Vegas Golden Knights and the Tampa Bay Lightning to handle the opposition in this series fairly easily.
I was shocked that the Islanders beat the Bruins, I'll be honest. I thought the Bruins were going to be the team coming out of the MassMutual East division. And the Islanders, I mean, they're not even really fun to watch. Like, they're always hemmed in their own zone. They'll get a shorty. They'll kill off multiple, like, majors. And sometimes it's just like, wow, 5 minutes of just, like not productive, not clean hockey. And somehow they're getting it done, and they knock off the Bruins. So I think, similar to the Montreal Canadiens, they're embracing that underdog role. And Tampa's just kind of like, okay, sure. Well, we got through Boston. We got through Pittsburgh. Like, Tampa's just, sure, they're another powerhouse. But for them, I think they have a considerable shot to beat them and kind of take what was theirs last year, because this is a repeat of a matchup last year, Bolton and Islanders. So it'd be nice if they could knock them off and get that much closer to Lord Stanley. I'm rooting for them, and they have the most ex-Leafs. Matt Martin, Leo Komarov, and I guess that's it, right? Leo and Matt Martin. So I'm with the Isles now.
you're on the Isles bandwagon.
Yeah.
Also impressive fashion that they were able to knock off Boston too, losing game one and two.
Yep.
And then being able to rally from there down 2-0. And we know what Boston's capable of in the postseason. Anytime, and they know how to finish off a series. Like, they know how to put away an opponent once they have them down on the mat. So for the Islanders to show that fight, a younger leadership group, Matt Barzal, I was particularly impressed with his ability to bounce back in games 3 through 6, whereas he was pretty quiet in the first two games. He was getting bottled up by the perfection line and wasn't really able to produce offensively. Really came to life in the second half of that series, and ultimately the Islanders are able to get it done. This is going to be a much more difficult task for the Isles. It's not a team that they've seen consistently all year, obviously, in the different division. So I think it's going to be shell shock for them. And when you look at the power that this team, this Tampa Bay Lightning group, has up front, obviously backboned by Nikita Kucherov, Braden Point, and Steven Stamkos, I mean, these guys are no joke. You get Vasilevskiy in goal. But for my money, the best goaltender remaining in the NHL playoffs, all the respects to Price and Fleury. But this guy is outstanding. He's just so big in that net. And when he's playing with the confidence that he is right now, it's so difficult to find ways to get pucks past him. And you look at the decor. I mean, this is a team that picked up Dennis Savard at the trade deadline, and he's barely even been able to crack the lineup for this Lightning group because of the depth that they have on the back end. Backboned ultimately by Victor Hedman and the former Montreal Canadian Mikhail Sergachev, in addition to some other former New York Rangers on that blue line. This is going to be a really difficult task for the Islanders. And although I'm pulling for them as the underdog, and obviously since Tampa Bay has already accomplished what they needed to last year, this is, I believe, a series that Tampa Bay should win. Tampa Bay is fully capable of winning, and anything less than a Tampa Bay win in six would be a surprise to me.
Islanders in six, Vegas in six. I'm keeping
Vegas in six. Yeah, I like the Vegas in six. I've thrown too much shade on Montreal through this whole postseason, so I'm going to put some respect on their names now. Like, I figured that would be a sweep, or at the very least 5 games against Toronto. They fed us the lunch on that one. I figured similar fashion, Winnipeg would handle them in 5 or 6, and the Canadiens were able to bust out the broom. So I still think Vegas is the better team, and I think over a 7-game series, we'll ultimately see that play out. But I think the Knights are going to handle the Canadiens in game six on the road in the Bell Center. Triple OT.
That would be money. you should bet on that. The intricacies of it, and just like, I don't know, some sort of prop bet.
If you parlay the Knights in six with, you could probably get pretty good odds if you parlay the Knights to win the series in six with the Lightning or the Isles. Even if you parlay the Isles, you get way more money because Tampa's obviously the favorites. But there's probably a pretty good payout. So I'll have to go poke around the DraftKings website using promo code THPN to see if there's some prop bets that I can make for the Final Four. Maybe some prop bets on the Stanley Cup Final as well. If you favor that matchup, now's the time to get in. Pick your winner and get the big payouts, because those futures can pay out very, very nicely.
Yes, right. And people want the cash coming in fast now with patios reopening, Kenny. People are locked and loaded.
Buddy, I got to tell you, patios opened on Friday. Like, it was a
gong. You've been gunning, eh? Oh, I was thinking of you because I was like, Kenny's probably just – what's the phrase in the restaurant industry? Deep in the weeds?
I was in the weeds.
Yeah.
I was in the jungle. Like, I was
– the cornfield, just trying to go through.
I was Robin Williams in Jumanji. Like, where he gets stuck in there and then he just comes out and he's like 40 years old or whatever. He's got a huge beard.
Yeah.
That was me on Friday trying to serve this patio with all the excited Torontonians, but also angry Torontonians that things were not running as smoothly as possible. It's like, come on, man. You got to give restaurants restaurant employees, servers, a little bit of slack here, cut them some slack. They haven't been serving regularly for 15 months. And then all of a sudden it just gets dropped in their lap that they're able to open in, you know, 3 or 4 days. A lot of places are understaffed. They have employees who have just been hired, so aren't as familiar with the systems. If you're listening to this, Ontario, give your servers a little bit of a break. It's been a rough 15 months for people in the hospitality industry. It's been a rough 15 months for everybody, but speaking as from my experience in the hospitality industry in particular, I've seen a lot of friends that have had to leave the city and a lot of businesses shut down because of their inability to fight through the restrictions.
Well, I was out with host of Locked On Senators podcast and good friend Ross Levitan at Amsterdam Brewhouse the other day. And let me say that the way like everybody was able to turn things around, like you said, on a dime, you know, management, staff, servers, bartenders, like it was amazing. It was pristine. And just to piggyback off what you said, Kenny, like, yes, I hope the tipping continues to enlarge for you, especially. And because, you know,
thank you.
I find sometimes, yeah, it is kind of just like taken very loosely, and you know, people can be, as you and I both know, working at Mercado a few years ago, people can be pompous, and you can tell who have not worked in the food industry before. You really can. So yeah. Remember to tip your servers, folks.
Yeah, a person who is not nice to the server at your, if you're ever out to dinner, is not a nice person. Pretty good indicator for those of you who are going out on a first date or something like that. The person's an asshole to the server, then
they're not
probably
a nice
just
person.
Not a very nice person. You should probably shut that down.
Yeah, it's a one date.
You've been following any of the Euro at all? Scary situation yesterday in Denmark with Christian Eriksen. Thank goodness for him and his family.
Oh my goodness, what a scary sight. I wasn't watching that live, but one of my good friends was covering that match in the newsroom, and man, it's just, I've never really, not that I saw it live, but even just, I guess they kept it off of social media for the family's sake, but I did go through our video PRX system and looked at just the live look, and it's just, I just hope he's recovering well. I think he's stabilized in hospital now, so.
Yeah, he FaceTimed with his teammates following gang sent to the hospital and basically gave them the blessing to continue the match. It was a scary situation, man.
Like, I've never seen
somebody like, I think he was actually like, I think he died on the field. It certainly looked that way. They had the defibrillator out there and people were raking the broadcast. But it's also my understanding that, like, especially for networks like TSN or ESPN, if there's a match going on, like from an away stadium, generally what you would do is just take their feed of the director's cuts and stuff like that. So
right.
You put your own commentary sort of over it. So like basically like whoever was running the broadcast was getting in a lot of hot water on social media for showing like these guys shocking Eriksen on the field with the defibrillator. It was scary stuff, but obviously like, he seems to be recovering well. So thoughts and prayers with his family, with the Danish people, with the Danish national team, because that was a scary, scary situation. But we were just trying to turn on some nice afternoon football just to fire up the Euro before I went to work. And that was such a downer on Saturday morning. We were like, ugh.
And it just day two, too. Like, it's just like, oh, my God. Like, already there's been – it's just been – yeah, I'm really hoping he can recover well. And thoughts and prayers to Eriksen and his family. I'm personally, on a lighter note, rooting for Belgium. Who do you got in the Euros?
Belgium – is a good team to watch. They're obviously without one of their star players, De Bruyne, the star midfielder for Manchester City. So I think that might hurt them a little bit later in the tournament. I don't have any skin in the game as far as international teams that I definitively pull for. I suppose if you held my feet to the fire, I do like France's team a lot. I like a lot of the individual players on France. But I think I'm going to be pulling for the Red Lions, England.
Nice.
Year in, year out.
I had a feeling you were, yeah.
Well, they never are able to get it done in international tournaments. So in that ways, they're kind of like the Toronto Maple Leafs, where they can dominate regular season play or sort of like the international friendlies. They always seem to show up and play well, but then they always seem to get eliminated early on in these major international tournaments. So for that reason, I'm hoping for the people of England that they can pull through and maybe get them that evasive World Cup. I don't think they've won one since like the 40s or the 50s or something like that. It's been a long time.
It's been a while.
I guess it's since a major championship. I know it's not the World Cup, it's the European Championship, but that's equatable to a World Cup victory to be able to come out as the top team in Europe, from my understanding.
I just love Belgium because Lukaku's a stud, and I visited Belgium in 2017, and their souffle sauce, which is essentially gravy, is remarkable. And Belgium, just the culture is incredible. So that's why I'm turning to the international footy team to cheer for.
All right, big shout out. I'll take England. You'll take Belgium. Whichever team makes it further owes the other person a pint on the patio.
All right, deal, buddy.
I already paid forward my last debt of the IPA. All right, yes. So just a quick synopsis moving forward. With the Leafs season over, we'll likely be looking forward to the expansion draft in future episodes. Take a look at who may be exposed for the Toronto Maple Leafs, and then likely some player profiles coming down the pipe. We'll look at all the player seasons and give them grades, sort of, and take a look at who we think will be coming back, who won't. So a number of notable key free agents that will be on the block, I guess.
Like eight.
There'll be management decisions to be made. So that's what we'll be doing for the summer. Obviously, be looking forward to the draft moving forward, the expansion draft itself, and the actual NHL draft, which will be coming up later. So we'll keep a keen eye to see if Kyle Dubas makes any moves ahead of then. But until that point in time, thank you for listening to episode 54 of Leaf Spot on the Hockey Podcast Network. Remember to follow us on Twitter at BMcCarthy95, at Ken Stapon, at Leaf Spot, and at HockeyPodNet. And we'll catch you next time.